is drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Greater Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapin, and we're going to be talking about what's going on financially. Now, there's a big meeting being held over in Europe, in London. Apparently, there are going to be almost 100,000 people there. They're flying in demonstrators from all over the world. Who do you think's putting up the money for these massive demonstrations? Well, of course, if you want a prototype of it, there was a meeting, I think, at the World Bank, for International Monetary Fund, I've forgotten what it was, in Seattle many years ago, and we put together a four-tape set on the battle in Seattle. And, of course, the people who put together the demonstrations were the very people who were putting on the meeting. You always want a controlled opposition. You always want to get agitators in there to get violence. It's all part of how the game's played. To take your attention away what's really going on, but what's really so interesting over there is our government and the Great Britain, because we always work together, we come out of the same, our governments come out of the same secret society. They, of course, are trying to get everybody to start trying to spend their way out of this problem, and most of the rest of the world think that's a stupid idea. How can you overcome a problem caused by too much spending? By increasing spending, and how can you increase spending by trillions and trillions of dollars without eventually destroying the value of our currency? And to answer that question, our guest, Bob Chapin of the International Forecaster. Hi, Bob. Good to have you with us again.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. And, you know, it's a question that has been asked in the media, surprisingly so, usually from statements from people who want to make other people aware of the fact that it defies reality. As you said, how can you spend yourself into this horrible position and then expect to spend your way out of it? And the philosophy is basically Keynesian in nature. And that is, last time around, during the Great Depression, we saw the Fed hold back on money during 29 and 30, and then realizing that they had not done the right thing, perhaps they went in the opposite direction, but it was too late. Now, going into this one, recession, which is now a depression, what they've done is gone full bore, hoping that the losses will be absorbed by those who hold dollars and by inflation, and they can ride their way through it. And I don't think it's going to work.
Well, of course,
throwing money at something that was caused by throwing money isn't going to work.
Well, I think the thing is that really my fear is they're going to end up destroying our currency. They're going to debase our currency. They're going to create inflation. They're going to steal everything that most people have worked their whole lives for. And the average individual has no idea what's really going on today. That's the trouble. And when you try to tell them, it's almost as if their minds have been taken over. And I really believe that most people are incapable of understanding what's going on because they've been intentionally and purposely and maliciously dumbed down.
Well, I agree with that. You know, I heard an extraordinary statement this morning that it was on one of those tapes on the internet, and it had to do. It's going to be in the next issue, incidentally. It had to do with a lady whose name I can't remember, who said during the interview that she was a member of the Bilderbergers, and her husband is a billionaire.
All right, you hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Bob Chapin, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Bob Chapin, of the Israel Astro Forecaster. And Bob was just telling us that he had heard a story this morning of a woman who says that she was a member of the Bilderbergers. Her husband's a multi-billionaire. You have to understand that this whole movement is really made up of people who are fabulously wealthy, who want more than money. They want power. They want to rule the world. That is what has driven people from Genghis Khan to Alexander the Great to Napoleon to Adolf Hitler to Stalin to Russia to Chairman Mao. But now, more than ever before, is a chance to unite the whole world, because the whole world is consumed in a financial crisis that is not going to go away. So what was this story you heard, Bob, about the woman who...
This woman was a publisher, and previously to that she had been the president of Cott Bottling Company, which makes soft drinks. And so she was very successful. And she mentioned this, but what she said was that we could add $15 billion a year to the Canadian economy if, and get this, 40% of Canadians were not functionally illiterate. And she said that's a fact. Well, in America, it's 51%.
Well, you know, the most amazing statistic is that 50% of the people in the United States have an IQ of 100 or less. I'll never forget one time making that statement on a major radio program, and the host just went ballistic. How could you make that statement? I said, very simply, because you have a bell curve, and 50% are on one side and 50% are on the other side, and the average is 100%. So 50% of the American public has an IQ of 100 or less. Well, that doesn't mean you can't have a lot of good common sense if you've got a lower IQ. In fact, I think we've got a lot of people coming out of college who basically are educated far beyond their intelligence. They've been indoctrinated in untrue things. They've learned history that has nothing to do with really going on. Most of these people really, of course, immediately just freeze up if you talk about secret societies or conspiracies, where, as there's always been a conspiracy against God, and that's what's really behind what's going on today. But the average person coming out of college believes in evolution. He believes that government can solve our problems. He has never, most of them, never actually had to get out and get dirt under their fingernails or work in the onion fields or pick crops as I have. And I'm sure you did these things too when you were young, Bob. They don't understand what the world is really all about. They believe that a fiat money system will work forever. But I don't think it will. What do you think?
I think you're right, and I don't think it will either. And but
hold that thought. We're going to bring our programs right to station back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob was just saying that this woman, who was very, very wealthy, a member of the Bilderbergers, had said that up in Canada, almost 48% of the Canadians were illiterate. Well, I don't know. I think the Canadians maybe have a lot more common sense than a lot of Americans do, but because, of course, they haven't had it as good as we've had for so long. But I think the day of reckoning is coming for both the Canadians and the Americans. But you pick up the story, Bob. People get tired of hearing me talk, so you go right ahead.
Well, the significance is that you and I, and a handful of others, are not the only ones who have recognized that this is a real problem. And she cited it because she wanted to sell more books, contribute to the economy, and at the same time, perhaps uplift the intellectual capacities of those who were functionally illiterate. There's a lot of people who have just been undereducated who are in that position who have higher IQs, which would allow them to grasp much more given the opportunity. How many, I don't know, but there certainly must be many of them. And so that's why the figure came up. And it's one of the reasons why you and I have such difficulty in reaching people, because a lot of people just don't understand, even if we detail it, what we're talking about, the depth. And so when you've lost almost half of society, you got to really work hard with the other half to hope that they have the leadership and the understanding to help the half that doesn't understand. And I think that's what a lot of our programming is all about, reaching out to people. And, you know, Stan, we're reaching them all over the world. And there is an awakening. And how many people out of that 100,000 are going to London to peacefully demonstrate are from or being financed by the people who are having this meeting remains to be seen at the moment. I've been putting in the forecaster a lot of information regarding the demonstrations that have been going on in Europe, and particularly recently in England and at the universities all over the British Isles. There's an enormous groundswell of people saying, look, you people have made a terrible mess out of everything. There has to be a better way. And you want us to pay for the mistakes of the banking and brokerage industry, and we don't want to do that. And many, many people will be coming from that direction. That's what started the demonstrations and then riots in Greece and then throughout Eastern Europe, was that everything has been mishandled. And the second major item is that, and in Greece it wasn't so much the killing of that young person. It was jobs. You know, in most of these countries, including the United States, the young people between 18 and 25, and in Europe as high as 35 years old, have no chance for a job, or they're offered the equivalent of about $25,000 a year and they've got 2 degrees or something like that. And that's got people really upset.
But I think, Bob, if people really understood, this whole thing is staged. This whole thing is created. You can go back and see how at every turn they've done the wrong things. These are brilliant people. I mean, the TARP funds were put out October 3rd of last year. I mean, they were supposed to be used, you know, to begin to buy up these home mortgages to keep people in their homes, stop the collapse of the housing market. And after Congress voted for that, after being, of course, given $150 billion, that's $150 billion in bribes, Henry Paulson just changed his mind. And of course, when they reread the legislation, they found out that Barney Frank, who, of course, is the chairman of the House Banking Committee, who is also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, just like Henry Paulson, Barney Frank had forgot to put into the legislation that the money had to go for the bailout of, pardon me, to stop the cascade of home foreclosures. And then Henry Paulson gives that money to his friends on Wall Street, but he forgets. He just forgets to tell them they've got to spend it in the United States. So they spent it in India, and they spent it in China, and they spent it in Dubai, and they spent it in Spain. And then we wonder why money's hard to get in the United States. How could Barney Frank have been that stupid? How could you said Henry Paulson, both of the members of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, how could they have been that stupid unintentionally? I think people have to begin to understand this whole thing is carefully, you know, being orchestrated because they want this crisis.
Well, one of the reasons, I knew this some time ago, I haven't spoken of it nor dwelled upon it, but several years ago, Barney Frank was in love with a man named Moses, who was working for Fannie Mae. And one of the reasons there was no investigation of what was going on there, a thorough investigation, was that they were blocking it because they were lovers at that time, and evidently this guy Moses said, hey, look, you know, Barney, I don't want this thing exposed, so cover it up, you know, as long as you can. And then I guess they fell out of love, and then they get exposed.
Well, of course, you know, but then you find other people that are very, very high in these organizations, you know, tied into the Council on Foreign Relations, tied into all of these other organizations. You know, there's a fellow named Franklin Rains who was there, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. And, you know, here's Oxford Scholar, you know, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, all the usual requirements, and, of course, doing everything wrong with Fannie Mae. And no repercussions, fraudulent, they're putting out fraudulent reports. Nothing's ever done to him. He's allowed to retire with a great big fat, I think $41 million, something like that. Because when you're part of the elite, why, you're not held to the same standards as those common people. And there really is an elite, and it's made up of the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Group of 30, and then the people who tie into the other occult organizations. And they're simply above the law. And till the American people understand that, and are willing to help us get the information out, and then begin to understand that behind all of these organizations are powerful spiritual forces, nothing is going to change. So, but you really think that people are beginning to wake up around the world, Bob?
Yeah, I think that they are, and it's good because they know who to identify now. They know the groups to look for. They know the connections. And we're getting a lot of emails to that effect. People who are saying, yes, I know the people in my country are hooked up with them, and this is how it works, and we're not going to let them get away with it. Most of this came in reference to the possibility of a new world currency, which deprives any nation of their sovereignty. And this is first and foremost in the minds of most people who love their country. And so they were discussing that, and they said, we're not going to let it happen here. So I've translated that into if things go very, very bad, which I believe they will, and they try to implement a world currency, there'll be world revolution.
Well, I really think, Bob, that that's exactly what they want. That'll give them an excuse for their world martial law. And there'll be enough people out there who'll say, we've got to have order. We can't have violence out there. You know, and they'll, you know, oppose the people who are trying to preserve freedom. I mean, these people are really, I mean, did these people give greed a bad name? Henry Paulson, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, was making somewhere about $40 million a year in salary and bonuses, and he quits that to become Secretary of the Treasury, where he gets, you know, a salary of $180,000 a year. Now, why would anybody in their right mind leave a job that paid him almost $40 million? Some people say 45, but 35, 45, what does it really matter? You know, for a job that pays $180,000, well, of course, he becomes really the economic dictator. And he says, you know, AIG is just too big to fall. AIG is too big to fall, so we're going to nationalize and we're going to pay all their debts. And then what does AIG do? Why, they begin shoveling money over to Goldman Sachs. About $12.5 billion went from the taxpayers over to Goldman Sachs. And, of course, they'd let AIG go bankrupt, which they should have done. That would have solved the problem, but Henry Paulson's doing a great job. But is he working for the American people? He comes from the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, just like Barney Frank and so many of the rest of them. Is he really working for the American people, or is he working for the establishment? Incidentally, I could say that the CEO of Goldman Sachs happens to be a member of the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations. Just one big happy family. But, of course, you're not going to hear about this from Time Magazine or Newsweek Magazine or, of course, U.S. News or World Report. Because the latter two are owned by people, members of the Trilateral Commission. The Time is controlled by people from the CFR. It's really sort of a slam-dunk situation. And it's the greatest transfer of wealth we've ever seen, and the average American has no idea what's going on. But you pick up there, Bob.
Right, and they don't have know what's going on, and that's why we're doing what we're doing, with the publication as well as the programs on the air. The administrations, and that's plural, in Washington for many years, both Republican and Democrat, have been controlled by these people. And, you know, in this last election, it was pretty obvious that Team A was brought in to take over for Team B, or vice versa. And this is the way they run things. The public does not have a clue or chance to make any changes.
And for some...
by Congress and then just go forward and do what they want to do. You know, you talked earlier about the coming G20 meeting in London. And
Hold that thought, Bob. We'll cover that as soon as we get back here in just a minute, right here at Radio Liberty. Bob, you go right ahead. You were talking about the G20 meeting.
Yeah, and the number of demonstrators. What's going on here is multifold. It isn't very often they have G20 meetings. The number one thing that they're talking about is the possibility of using another method of having a reserve currency. And, of course, the Bilderbergers in New York and the United States, they don't want that to happen because they've got a license to steal or on a gravy train, have been since 1948, and they don't want to give that up to China or Russia or anybody else. On the other hand, they've made a drastic, terrible mess out of the financial and economic situation, not only in the United States, but it reflects all over the world. And so they're going to talk about the usage of SDRs, which is the special depository receipts, and those are nothing but a fiat currency created by the IMF. They were created in 1969, and incidentally we have a piece on this and the links in Wednesday's issue coming out explaining what they are, special drawing rights. And they used them before and they didn't work. And what it is a transfer representation from one country to another. And it's unmeaningful. So what I think they're going to do is say, look, we want to have a different currency, and nothing will be solved at this meeting, but they will lean toward using the top 10 currencies in the world in a basket to supplant the dollar over a period of several years. I think this is what they'll come to on that. Now, the second item is they want a czar of some kind to run all of the financial markets of every kind in the world, and perhaps he'd be in New York or Washington or London or Brussels or wherever, and they would control via regulation, supposedly, hedge funds, insurance companies, stock markets, foreign exchange markets, commodity markets, and all of that under one roof. And the reason they want to do that is they don't want regulations. They have regulations now, and they're not followed because the regulators are all controlled by these people. So that's not what they're after. They're after centralized control to more easily meld it into their world government. Number three is they're going to be talking about free trade and globalization. And they're running into some real snags because there have been subsidies of manufacturing of vehicles in the United States and in France and in Russia. They're seeing, again, the massive depreciation of currencies in order to be those currencies to be competitive in the export markets that they export to. And, of course, that makes everything that we do in the United States more expensive. So we can't export hardly anything because we can't compete. And even the Swiss are doing it, which is very surprising. And so, well, I think the final outcome...
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Bob Chapman. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster, and we're talking about the G20 meeting, which is being held in Europe this week. And Bob says, of course, everything is, oh my goodness, you shouldn't want to protect your own country, you know. Why, that's Europe, protectionist, that's a terrible thing. What we need to do is have open borders and global economy. Well, that has led to the loss of most of our manufacturing, because you see, the people behind this hate America. They hate industry. They want to lower the living standards of the American people. So they've intentionally transferred our manufacturing overseas. And why shouldn't manufacturers go over there? They get special tax breaks. And then, of course, they can bring their products back into the United States without any tariffs. And, of course, at a fraction of the cost if they were produced here. And that way, they're gradually transferring our wealth to other countries. But a lot of the other countries in the world don't want this globalism. They want to protect their own countries. Could you imagine that? People, you know, in Europe want to protect their countries rather than give over their sovereignty to this globalist utopian dream. And of course, what it really means is you're going to end up with a world dictator. And I guess some of them are a lot smarter than our people are, because they keep pushing it and the rest of the world doesn't want it. So what do you think is going to come out of the G20 meeting, Bob?
Well, I think in respect to the free trade and globalization, I think it's a sacrifice that the internationalists are going to have to make, because it's going to fall apart. I mean, we've got subsidization of industries. We have new tariffs that have been put up. We have deliberate depreciation of currencies to be competitive. And we've lost almost 7 million jobs, almost all of them to free trade and globalization over the last 8 years. And that's a horrible price to pay. And it's continuing. These transnationals such as IBM and even the automobile manufacturers who were looking for money have been doing it since 1980.
And what you really mean is they're transferring. General Motors is transferring its production to Russia, to China, to South America, and we're helping to pay for it, but we can't let the American people know that. They have no intention of keeping their production here, but they'll take all the money we'll give them. And the same thing is true for Ford. They're doing the same thing. All of the manufacturers are moving offshore, but we can't tell the American people. We've got to give them the idea, we just give them a few more billion or $100 billion here, or $25 billion there. I think they want another $26 billion now. It's not going to solve the problem, because they're intent upon moving offshore. But they will not tell the American people that, about all the new factories in Russia and in China and in South America. Why, the American people aren't smart enough to understand globalization. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, you're right. And I think what it's going to lead to is, I think it's going to force Congress to enact tariffs and on goods and services, which is the best possible thing that can happen in the United States. We lived and worked with tariffs ever since 1800. Our original
the founders of America
got them between 1790 and 1800, which was called British mercantilism at the time, was a complete disaster. And so we've had tariffs ever since, up until really the last 20 years. And we've got to go back to them, otherwise we can't compete. It's impossible.
We have to protect our industries. Certainly, it's an imperfect system because mankind is perfect. But if we don't protect our laborers, believe me, and our standard of living, believe me, every other country is going to protect their people and their standard of living, and they have tariffs of one form or another, or value-added taxes, or all sorts of tricks to make their goods more competitive. It is only our leaders who want to sacrifice our jobs, but they cannot tell the American people that. They have to tell us how well we're doing with globalization. Ladies and gentlemen, look at the unemployment figures and look at the end of where this all leads. It leads to the destruction of the America that we know and love. Go ahead.
Well, you're right about that. And, you know, I think finally the people who have lost their jobs are finally getting the message. And one of the problems with people who aren't as bright as others is they do think they understand and they know, and they don't. And all too often they're not willing to listen. And so the outcome, of course, is that they lose their jobs like they have. Their income has dropped from $32 an hour to $12 an hour. And they're reeling around mentally trying to figure out what happened to me. And the answers are out there if they just listen.
The truth is out there, ladies and gentlemen, we don't need more government spending. We need more production by our companies. But our leaders are intent upon shifting our manufacturing overseas. And they've been working at this for a long period of time. We do not need more government spending. We need more manufacturing if we hope to survive as a free nation. Well, Bob, we'll go right ahead.
Well, I was just thinking of that song, how I used to listen to it when I was a kid, and how everybody was so pro-America and all of the good things about America, and things have changed just so dramatically since then.
But you know, they don't play this song because they control the media. They don't want people to love America. They don't want to have that wonderful feeling of loyalty to this country. What they want to do is destroy a loyalty. What they want is loyalty to this globalist dream. That's why they do not allow this to be played on radio ordinarily, and that's why I've decided to use it as our theme song. Go right ahead.
Well, I'm glad you do, because I've always liked it, and I always liked Kate Smith. Where I lived on the East Coast, she came on every day at noontime, and when I was little, I was home from school. You came home from 12 to 1, and you had lunch and went back to school, and so I heard her quite a bit. But anyway, some of the things that are going on in the markets today, I think last week I alluded to this, but what has happened here is that the Working Group on Financial Markets, which is a legal entity which was created by executive order in 1988 by Ronald Reagan to help the markets when dire circumstances were happening, it's been abused. It's being used 24/7. In order to control markets all over the world. And what our government has done is that they have used this device just recently, and I've been using it extensively, to take the ability of the market to withstand what's coming. Now, how they've done that is they built a cushion to the upside. They took the Dow Jones Industrial Average from 6,600 to 7,800, about 1,200 points. There was no good news. It was generally all bad and contrived news. I even see Barron's has been attacking government statistics, which I've been doing for over 10 years. And so anyway, the market has been manipulated over the last maybe 14, 13 business days, up from 6,600 to 7,800. It began to fall on Friday when the financials broke. And
hold that thought, Bob. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster. And Bob is just saying that the stock market is manipulated. There's something called the Working Group on Financial Markets. You can go up on the Internet, use your search engine, look about them. The Working Group on Financial Markets, what's their job? Well, their job is to manipulate the stock market, because when they manipulate the market up, you feel good. And when they manipulate the market down, you feel terrible. And, of course, they play games with our minds all the time. And this is not a normal market at all. Not normal market of commodities, not normal market of gold and silver. Everything is manipulated by the invisible government. There is an invisible government. It's made up of a group that set out in 1973 to seize control of the government of the United States. And, of course, there was the Trilateral Commission established by David Rockefeller since 1976. when Jimmy Carter became president, every president and or every vice president of the United States has been a member of this little elitist group, only about 80, 85 of them. But they control our government. They control Obama. They put him in power, just as actually they put Bush in power. But be that as it may, certainly right now we have Bob Chapman. And Bob, I want you to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the International Forecaster.
Well, the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, usually runs around 35 pages each time, and we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. If you'd like a free introductory copy, there's one of three ways you can get them. You can go to our site, and that address is the International Forecaster.com, the International Forecaster.com, or you can email us at bob@intforecaster.com, bob@intforecaster.com. Or you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, Bob, and I would suggest to our listeners, I read this twice a week when it comes in. Believe me, I look forward to it, and it is a wonderful summary of everything going on out there. You'll find the information in the International Forecast you will not find in other newsletters. So go ahead, pick up the story there, Bob.
So what they've done here is they have created a cushion in the Dow, which is representative of the 30 stocks that are top stocks, top companies, and they have misrepresented the value thereof to create this cushion, because they know when all of this terrible news comes out, including the demonstrations in London regarding G20, that the markets are going to go back down again. And so they want to try to hold the Dow at 6,600. And my guess is that today, and the market was off 254 points at 75.22, it'll go down over the next week. And it won't be long before it tests 6,600 again and probably breaks it. On the other hand, they've been taking commodities apart. They have been trying to strengthen the dollar, but it's a very hard uphill battle to do that at this point because it failed to break out to a new high. And they have been deliberately taking down gold and silver so that when all the bad news comes out, gold and silver won't go to 2,000, it'll go to 1,000 instead or something like that. And so I expect that probably later this week on Thursday and Friday, the gold and silver would take off again, and I don't think they're going to be stopped this time. I think gold has a good shot at going through 1,000. But the reason that this is happening, you now understand. It's manipulation by your government. This is what's going on. And, of course, they want the stock market to stay up because the lower it goes, the more problems it causes for brokerage firms, banks, insurance companies, hedge funds, mutual funds, and particularly pension funds. Now, I think the Dow is going to 4,000, and I think it will be lucky if it stops there. And if it does stop there, you're still going to have 60 to 70% losses in all of the entities that I just pointed out. And that means more and more problems to go along with the problems that we already have. And I know that's not a pretty picture, but that's just the way it is. And so you should be getting yourself prepared by making sure that you have dehydrated and freeze-dried fruit at home, a water filter, a method of defending your family, And if you have extra money, you can buy gold and silver-related assets, because I think they're the only safe place to be.
Well, you know, Chris, we know that they are intending chaos. All you have to do is listen to what Zygmunt Brzezinski talks about, read what Henry Kissinger is talking about. They want to promote chaos, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. And out of chaos, they hope to bring in the one world government. If anybody who has not read that very, very insightful article by Henry Kissinger, International Herald Tribune, 12th of January, if you haven't read it, you must. It's entitled A Chance for a New World Order. Get that article. Read it. If you can't get it, we'll be glad to provide you with one. Understand that there is an agenda out there. They know exactly what they're doing. They're willing to destroy the economy of the entire world, impoverish the entire world, perhaps even create another world war. But their ultimate objective is a one world government, because these people have a different world view. They see nothing wrong with mass chaos and violence and death and suffering. But you see, they have a different view of the world. Well, Bob, certainly as we see these things going on today, and of course we keep reading, well, but actually home sales were up this last month. Isn't that a good sign?
Well, no, because if you read the forecaster on Wednesday, we have all the statistics in there, and the statistics point out that the figures are bogus. And even, I said earlier in the program, Barron's has even said, and this has got to end. And if for no other reason, then business is using these figures to make decisions on, and of course they're making wrong and bad decisions. And that's not good, because companies lose money. And that's very dangerous. And so even after 10 years of my barking about it, and, you know, virtually nobody listening, we have finally mainline media saying that the figures aren't true. And so you'll see those in the next issue. That's why you should get a free copy of the next issue if you're not a subscriber.
All right, fine. It's fascinating information out there. And you have to understand the government's lying about unemployment. And unemployment, they admit, you know, 650,000 a month, a new unemployment, people losing their jobs. But then they lie even about these figures and about total unemployment. They lie about the rate of inflation. They lie about the fact trying to tell us they can turn out $10, $15, $20 trillion and there's not going to be any inflation, or they're going to get this money out of circulation before, you know, we begin getting into hyperinflation. We're going the way of the Weimar Republic. We're going the way of Zimbabwe, of that tragic nation where the American State Department and Henry Kissinger installed a Marxist thug trained at Oxford, admittedly, to bring about hyperinflation to see what would happen. And it was a social experiment, destroyed the nation. Almost half the people have fled. About 5 million of the 12 million, 11 million people have fled the country. People have lost their everything. And you know, what they've done there is the most amazing thing. They've suddenly done away with their currency altogether. Now they're using dollars and South African rand and anything anybody has. And that they're beginning to trade in other currencies. And suddenly, the society is beginning to come back again. Have you looked into that at all, Bob? That is an amazing phenomenon. Restore a stable currency, and suddenly a little glimmer of hope, a little glimmer of stability of society returns.
Well, they are doing some minor work in the currencies, such as the rand and the dollar. But the real force has been gold. And, you know, everybody's running around with their scales. And if you want to do business, most everybody only will accept gold. So that's where that is all headed. It's not going to solve the problem, because government is still in place. And a very brutal government that it is.
And that's the government that we installed and we've kept in power. This is what the American people don't know. Your tax dollars at work. A destroying of Chris, the hope and future of the people there. Of Zimbabwe, used to be Rhodesia, used to be a first world nation, used to have a lifespan of the average person of 64, 65. Now we've cut the lifespan in half. It's wonderful what Americans do with their efforts at, you know, it's just simply a little scientific experiment. And of course, this is what happens when you destroy the stability of a currency. And we're going that way. There's no way they can put out all this money without destroying the value of our currency. And I don't think there's one person, you know, in 100,000 in America who realize the implications of what's going to happen when they do destroy the value of our currency.
Well, the same thing will happen in America as will happen all over the world. Everybody's going to get this one. And Zimbabwe and Weimar are perfect examples of where we're headed. And as you know, I lived in Rhodesia for 3 years.
Right. I understand and you even knew Mugabe.
Yes, I did. I used to talk to him fairly frequently when he was in jail because I would have to pass the jail going to and from my company that I owned. And I happened to meet him because I went in and got a dog for my son. They didn't use the female Alsatians for guard duty. They only used the males. And so they had females that they wanted to place, so to speak, at homes. And so anyway, that's how I happened to meet him, because he was in there, and he introduced himself to me. And so over a couple of years, I probably talked 20 or 30 times. And
what years were you in Rhodesia?
From January of 1970 to April of 1973.
Well, you left just about the time we got over there. We got there over there in 74. We were there 74 to 77 in South Africa. Of course, my son visited Rhodesia, but it was a wonderful, wonderful country. Our telephone number here
is beautiful.
Yeah, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And they took a prosperous country and they turned it into a basket case. American foreign policy at work, Henry Kissinger, and of course Henry Kissinger's directing everything that's going on today. People don't understand that, but apparently General Jones, I'm sure you've read that quotation from General James Jones, the director of the National Security Council, about how Henry Kissinger's directing foreign policy in the Obama administration. Did you see that, Bob?
Yes, I did. And, you know, these are the things that happen behind the scenes that people never see nor hear about. And, again, you know, that's why your program is so important, getting this word out to the public, because they would never know otherwise.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question for Bob. Well, we're living in very difficult times. So if you'd like to talk to Bob, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. But if you're one of those people who's just hanging in the stock market, waiting for your stock to come back again because you don't want to be psyched out, well, you better stop and think again about what's going on, because nothing is that appears to be. Well, let's go to Kent, who's calling us from West Virginia. Hi, Kent. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan.
Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I've been puzzled a long time about these, and I finally heard a guy named Frank Partnoy on Terry Gross's Fresh Air program, and he described something that really amazed me. He said that these derivatives are just like debts, that, say, a package of debts will go bad, and that if you had a package of debts, say, for $100 million, and that they wouldn't place just one bet, they could take 100 bets on that one package of $100 million debt, and that these were not listed on the balance sheet, and they were just like notations on, you know, at the bottom of the balance sheet.
All right,
that sounds amazing to me.
Bob, do you have any comment at all on what Kent was saying?
Well, it's true. And they were holding these collateralized debt obligations and SIVs, as they were called, off balance sheet. I know that's, you know, incredible, but that's what they were doing, and they're still doing it. And, you know, nobody seems to want to talk about it.
Remember, Chris, AIG was really, all this money was funneled to, I think, $30 or $45 billion of your tax money. They funneled to these banks, Deutsche Bank, J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, for these derivative contracts. They're simply uninsured bets, uninsured the insurance policies is basically what they are. But they're somewhere in the neighborhood of, what do you think, Bob, is 700 trillion or a quadrillion or a quadrillion and a half? These out there, this is what's going to bring down the world economic system. How much do you think there is out there in that that we're going to be on the hook for? I mean, we're on the hook for everything going on today. But then not telling the American people that it's going to cost us another half a trillion or $1 trillion to bail out AIG because they're too big to fall. The truth of the matter is they're too big to keep up. Anything else you want to say, Kent or Bob?
Well, I was just wondering, since they're off the balance sheet, I mean, was there any cash changed hands for these? I mean, couldn't they just wipe them off and just pretend they didn't exist? I mean, or do we just have to pay hard money for things? Something that's just off the balance sheet. I mean, that just seems like a scam of all time.
But they're not paying it. You're paying it, ladies. You're paying it. Bob, what are your thoughts?
Well, even though it's off balance sheet, it still has to be written off someday. It has to be brought back on the balance sheet. It can't stay there indefinitely. And so something eventually has to happen, and that's why the American taxpayer, via the government, is doing what they're doing to bail these companies out.
And that's why Henry Paulson...
There's no end to it. I mean, it doesn't matter what the derivative figure is, whether it's 600 trillion or 1.25 quadrillion. The point is, it's unpayable.
And, of course, what people really must understand is that Henry Paulson, you know, Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderbergers, gave up a job paying him $40 million a year to become Secretary of the Treasury, and so he could funnel money back to Goldman Sachs, at least $12.5 billion. But it didn't just go to Goldman Sachs. It went to all of his other buddies, who are all part of the same little elitist club. But you're not going to hear that here on the regular channels. Our guest is Bob Chapman. We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, let's go to Harvey, whose colleague is from Southern Florida. Harvey, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do, Dr. Stan. Hello, Bob. Hello, Dr. Stan. Yes, I'd like to ask him. I mean, they're going to take these toxic assets from the banks, and they're going to get investors to invest in them with the government's money. I mean, if these things were worth anything, why wouldn't the banks just keep them if they were worth anything at all? What exactly are those things, Bob?
Well, they're bonds which contain, in one hand, mortgages or pieces of mortgages. And I won't go into the details, but they chop mortgages up and put some here and some there. And so that's what's in there. And there's another group called ABS, which is asset-backed securities, which have car loans, credit cards, mobile home loans, motorcycles,
student loans,
sort of thing.
Right.
And what they're doing is the Fed is taking in this paper, and I don't know what they're paying them, but they've been paying 80 cents in the dollar. And the reason they're doing that is it's worth 20 cents in the dollar. So if they buy from the lender, we'll say banks, the paper at 80 cents or 60 cents or 50 cents, it doesn't make any difference. The taxpayer, the American government, is going to hold that paper to maturity, supposedly is going to get their money back or make some money, when in fact, as far as I'm concerned, that's impossible. And so what they're doing is just taking this garbage off of the balance sheets of the lender.
But you see, they still don't want to lend. That is what is these banks are in cahoots on this thing, and they're withholding loans because they want to create this whole crisis. That is what they're not telling you, Harvey. They're simply lying. Hey, thanks so much for calling, and let's go to Tom calling us from Chicago. Tom, we got a quick question. We're almost out of time.
I was just wondering, Dr. Stan, if Bob could give us a little bit of his thoughts about the way Walter P. Chrysler and the Dodge fighters must be spinning in their graves thinking Cerberus running Chrysler right into the ground, having no intention of saving it, and one of our great corporations going down the drain, being sold to the Italians of Fiat, which is a communist outfit. It's just a sickening day. It reminds me so much of the day that Jimmy Carter gave the Panama Canal away.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We're just about out of time. Tom had asked Bob how he thought that Mr. Chrysler and Mr. Dodge would feel about the way that they're destroying one of our great corporations, Chrysler. Do you have any thoughts on that before we let you go, Bob?
Well, I think they would have said let them go under. But as a prelude to that, I don't think it would have ever happened, you know, 30 or 40 years ago. You know, these people hadn't embarked on their program then. They started around 1980. But the whole thing, as you've said, Stan, is purposeful, it's deliberate, it's to destroy the manufacturing bases, not only the United States, but Canada and Western Europe, and the Depression will bring the entire world to its knees, and they hope to force it to engage in world government. And that's what we got to stop.
And, Tom, I think that's an excellent approach, and I hope you're diversifying. God bless. Thanks so much for calling. Give my best to your wife. And certainly, Bob, thank you so much for being with us. Our guest has been Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster. If you don't take the publication, you need to. Thanks so much, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, Chris, I guess Bob Chapman, of course, you need to get the material we have on finance. We've got a great book. It was written in 1889. It's called The Coming Battle. And it talked about what was happening with the banks at that time and how the banks were working in cahoots with the government, of course, to rape and pillage the people. And time again, in the 1870s and the 1890s, they'd done exactly what they're doing now. Suddenly withhold money from the banks. See, the banks have lots of money today, at least the large ones do. The small banks don't have money. They're frightened, but the large ones have lots of money. They can create money. They can leverage it up to, take a $1, they can sell $40 worth of, $40 worth of bonds. They create money out of nothing. You don't know that. They're not telling you how this scam works, but this is how it works. They've got plenty of money to lend, but they want to create the crisis. When you understand that, you can understand why nothing that they do seems to make things better. And they work in concert, and there's a small number of large banks, but you need to read this book written back in 1889 because, of course, many of the banks that were there here then are here now, and they're doing exactly the same thing all over again. Then we have a book written in 1935 by Gertrude Kukin. It's called The Money Creators. The first one, written in 1889, is called The Coming Battle, written by a lawyer at that time, and Mr. Wahlberg. Gertrude Kukin wrote a book in 1935. Same story all over again, but they have to suppress this. They can't let the American people understand banking, one of the greatest scams in the world. Certainly is well described by Professor Quigley, his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. They actively suppressed that. Somebody came in and bought up the publisher, Macmillan. We even have an interview with Professor Quigley where he tells how his book was actively suppressed. And he was a professor at Harvard and Princeton before he went to Georgetown University and met his most famous student, a young man named William Jefferson Clinton. But anyway, of course, we carry Tragedy and Hope. We carry The Money Creators. We carry The Coming Battle. And then, of course, we have the classic book. It's entitled The Creature from Jekyll Island. That's The Creature from Jekyll Island. We have the Federal Reserve Conspiracy. And, of course, we have the book titled The Fiat Money Inflation in France. We have a couple little pamphlets we've written about the history of money. You need to understand the history of money. You need to understand what's going on if you hope to survive. Another book called The Financial Meltdown. These are pamphlets, inexpensive, $3.95 plus shipping. And then, of course, if you get any of the other material, you'd like a copy of something put out by the Luciferians entitled The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy. Why, just ask for it. We'll send it to you free of charge. That's The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy. You need to understand that they openly talk about how their people have planted in the financial markets throughout the world. And they're not joking. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. And then, of course, my talk on the financial tsunami. And the syllabus goes with that. Will really help you to understand. It was given 5 years ago, but it's just as true today. Everything that's happening has been planned for a long period of time. And then, of course, we're on number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, RadioLiberty.com.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.